Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept?
Greetings and good evening. Thank you for listening and tuning in this evening. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is October 22nd, 2012. Again, I just thank each and every one of you for joining me on this evening. Call someone, tweet someone, text someone, and let them know we are on the air live. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds, a radio talk show for the family where we talk about some of the struggles and the obstacles that families face as it relates to the child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. And as we know and as we have discussed, we'll also talk about the residue that flows or sticks with us as we often so find out later in life in our adulthood. So thank you again for joining me. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds, O-D as in dog, D as in dog, S_against, A-G as in girl, A-I, N as in Nancy, ST_U@yahoo.com. Or if you care to write or send any kind gift to Victory Against All Odds, you may do so at P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531. Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. If you have a prayer request or you have a question or desire to be a guest on Blog Talk Radio, simply call the confidential voicemail box at 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658 and the pound sign. We thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening. You may go to my website at www.oddsagainstyou, that's one long word, the letter U, .webs, WEB as in boy, S.com. And again, we thank each and every one of you for joining me on this evening. As we continue this month being Domestic Violence Month, again, last week we did talk about domestic violence. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behaviors in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner, a loved one. Abuse is, by definition, physical, sexual, emotional, economic or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behavior that frightens, intimidates, terrorizes, manipulates, hurts, humiliates, blames, injure or wound someone else. Again, let me say that again because that was a mouthful. You might want to go get you a piece of paper and a pen on tonight. We're going to kind of do some dissecting of some things, and we're going to take a look, like we did last week, at the lens of domestic violence. A lot of people are talking about domestic violence all over the airwaves. I'm taking a different spin. We're going to look at the lens from different perspectives. Again, domestic violence is defined as a pattern of behavior. I'm sorry. Abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological action or threats of action that influences another person. This includes, and not limited to, any behavior that would frighten, intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone else. Domestic violence can happen to anyone. It has no respect to person. As we said on last week, it could be any race, age, any sexual orientation, religion, or gender. It can happen to couples who are married, living together, who are dating. Domestic violence affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and, of course, educational levels. On last week, we talked about domestic violence not necessarily – uh-oh, I'm sorry about that. Domestic violence isn't always about hitting and fighting or a shouting match, but it's really a chronic abuse of power. As we spoke on last week, and I encourage you, if you did not hear last week's episode broadcast, you may go to the archives and listen to that, and we'll be able to build on that. You know, we're all about building a house, building brick upon brick. So we're going to build the next brick or lay the next brick on this evening. We talked about domestic violence is the ability to control the victim by threatening or intimidating, of course, all of the things that we just mentioned. So tonight I wanted to take this piece because one of the things we talked about is that domestic violence has many layers. So because it has so many layers, we want to talk about it from the lens of the child. Well, there are various other lenses as well. So we're going to kind of spin around and view it from a variation of lenses on tonight. So I want you to go with me as we go on a control wheel. Because remember, we're talking about power and control. So if you'll spin with me on this wheel, we're going to look at this wheel. Again, we talked about power and control. We know that physical and sexual assault or threats to commit them are the most apparent form of domestic violence and are usually the action that allows other people to become aware that there is, in fact, a problem going on. However, regular use of other abusive behavior by batterers, when reinforced by one or more acts of physical violence, make up a large system of abuse, which is why we defined what abuse is. So tonight, I want you to go with me as we take a look at some of the various wheels. And as we look at these wheels, as we examine these wheels, we're going to see it from various focal lenses. So to start off, we're just going to talk about what that looks like in terms of power and control and violence. We know that it can be physical and sexual, which we've already defined. But let's dig into this wheel. Let's talk about how that looks. Coercion and threats. Let's look at that. Coercion and threats, what does that look like? It looks like this. It makes or carrying out threats to do something to hurt, in this case, a female. Doesn't necessarily have to be gender specific, because we know that there are females who are abusive. Threats to leave, commit suicide, or report that particular person. In this case, we were going to talk about it from the woman's perspective, because predominantly men are abusers, but I do not want to label all men, because that's not what we're doing here. Reporting her to welfare, making her drop her charges, making her do illegal things. Let's talk about it from the male privilege perspective. Treating her like she's a servant, making all the big decisions, acting like the master of the castle, being the one who defines men and women's roles. And some of you can relate to some of this, those that are in the listening audience. Economic abuse. From the economic abuse lens, it looks like this. Preventing her from getting or keeping a job. Making her act for money. Giving her an allowance and taking her money, not letting her know about how or have access to the family income. This is economic abuse. Some use children. Making her feel guilty about the children. Using the children to relay the message. You know, now the child is going back and forth relaying messages, so there's no communication between the two adults in this case. You're using the child as the pawn, doing all of the communicating. Using visitation to harass her. Threatening to take the child away. This is all about power and control. All right, let's look at it from the intimidation lens. Making her afraid by using looks. You know how we do, women. When we want our children to line, we'll look across the room and they'll just line right up. Acting or actions and gestures, you know, those nonverbal cues that keep her in control. From across the room so that you don't look so bad. You know, you're trying to keep an image. It's all about a mask, if you will. Smashing things because you're angry. You've lost control. Or you're trying to gain control. Destroying her property. Abusing pets. Displaying weapons. Let's look at the emotional abuse lens. Putting her down, making her feel bad about herself, calling her names, making her think that she's crazy. You've seen those movies, Lifetime, where the male makes the woman feel like she's losing her mind. Playing mind games, humiliating her, and making her feel guilty, that spirit of guilt. Let's look at it from the isolation lens. Controlling what she does, who she sees and who she talks to, what she reads and where she goes. Does this sound familiar? You know someone like that. Perhaps it is you that are listening. Are you keeping a secret? Limiting her outside involvement because you are afraid she might slip and say. Using jealousy to justify your action. Let's look at it from minimizing, denying, and blaming lens. Making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns about it seriously. You know, brushing it off. Oh, you know, you're just blowing it all out of control. You've heard the phrase. You know, you're making a molehill out of a mountain out of a molehill. Saying the abuse didn't happen. Now you're in denial. Shifting responsibility for the abusive behavior. Saying she caused it. Now you're placing blame. So I'm hearing some layers here. We're gonna knock this one out. Okay. Now, that's the big wheel about power and control. Now, last week we talked about it from the child's lens. Let's look at what the wheel looks like when we talk about abuse of children. And let's take that wheel and let's look at it from lens. So flip your lens. Talk about violence and abuse against children, and we're going to put it on the wheel, and we're going to flip the various lens. Let's go. Got your pen? Got your paper? Intimidation. Again, this is from abuse of a child. Instilling fear through looks, actions, gestures. Property destruction, using adult size, you know, because there is that intimidation. You know, you're tall, 6 feet four, and, you know, they're three, they're six, they're nine. Being violent to the other parent, destroying their pets, or being violent to that pet, kicking, you know, how we do. Okay. Now, let's look at it through the lens of using adult privileges, same as control, but from the abuse of a child. Treating children as servants, punishing, bossing, always winning, denying input in visitation and custody decisions, and always interrupting because you are afraid that the child may say something that you want to keep hidden. Let's look at it from the lens of threats. Threatening abandonment, suicide, physical harm, confinement, or harm to other loved ones. Now, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about the definition that we just gave, and so far we're doing a pretty good job covering this definition of abuse. Period. Let's look at it from the economic abuse. See where the commonality is and see where the separation comes in terms of it being the abuse of children. Withholding basic needs. These are the things that children don't worry about. Our basic needs, our shelter, you know, our food, our clothing. Using money to control behavior. Squandering family money. Withholding child support. Using children as an economic bargaining chip in divorce. I'm saying this a little slow because I want you time to write it down, but also thinking at various lenses. This is serious. People, you know, we can't take abuse lightly, we can't take domestic violence lightly. This has multi-layers, and it is so hidden. And that's why we're doing it on the wheel, because I want you to start thinking about children that you see, various situations. We're so in such a rush, we're missing a whole lot. People are dying all the time because we are too busy to take time to care and to speak up. Let's look at it from the emotional abuse lens. Putting down, name calling, using children as confidants, using children to get or give information to other parents, being inconsistent, no stability. And we know how that happens. I mean, we know what that looks like in the child's life, just not being stable. Children learn by being consistent. By us being consistent, they know what to expect. And shaming children. Now you've destroyed their little self-esteem. Let's look at it from the isolation lens. Controlling access to peers and adults, siblings, other parents, and grandparents. This is getting a little bit close to home. Using institutions, threatening punishment by God, courts, police, schools, juvenile detention centers, foster homes, relatives, and psych wards. Of course, the big outer wheel, that's the inside of that wheel. On the outside of wheel, what does that look like? Are you talking? Are you thinking? It looks like committing incest. I'm familiar to somebody. It sounds like sexual touching, kissing. Sounds familiar. Sexualizing children's behavior. It sounds like pinching, hitting, kicking, punching, twisting arms, and choking. That's the outer wheel. That's what the violence looks like on the outside. And this is what's going on in the inside, the hidden part. On the outside, we see all this stuff. But on the inside, we have all these lenses. Think about that. Now, we often talk about bullying. We've heard various tales. We've heard children committing suicide because they were bullying. Now that we have access to computers and internet, we've got phones, we've got texting. And, of course, when we talk about bullying, we talk about, well, let's go back. What is bullying? Let's talk about what that is and what that looks like on this control wheel concerning power and control. And then we're going to flip it. Because when we think about bullying, the first thing we think about is children, and that's not always the case. Okay, so we know for a fact that bullying is a conscious, willful, deliberate, and repeated hostile activity perpetrated by an abuser who possesses more physical, social power and dominance than the victim. The person that's being victimized, the person that's being bullied. We know that it is frightening, clear, that when many normal people gain a measure of control over others, they often cannot resist the urge to abuse it, or treat those below them with cruelty, indignity, and contempt. So, the thought of putting these two people in a room trying to work things out, which we call mediation, that's not going to work. So you ask, well, why would you not do that? The reason why you wouldn't do that, because you're re-victimizing the victim, because they're already intimidated by their very presence. Remember, we talked about more physical and perhaps social power, or that this person has a dominance over them. So their very presence will bring fear upon that victim. So you don't want to put them in a mediation process or a mediation situation where they're in the same room. You don't want to re-victimize that person because it's just not even possible. In a true case of bullying, putting them together, of course, we know that that's just going to rehash those feelings for the victim. Bullying is generally thought of as a childhood problem, but it takes many forms across the lifespan: sexual harassment, gang attacks, dating, assault, domestic violence, child abuse, harassment in the workplace, and elder abuse. So, now, let's talk about bullying and power control on this wheel. We're going to use those same lenses, and we're going to break it down. Ready? Got your pen? Coercion and threats and intimidation. Threatening future physical harm, making him or her do illegal things such as drugs and alcohol, making him or her change or recant their story so that, you know, to protect them, make them look good so that they don't get in trouble, making him or her afraid with looks, actions, gestures, damaging property, threatening to get him or her in trouble with family, friends, or school. Here's that power button, that bat that's waving over their heads. Let's look at it from the humiliation lens. Calls him her names privately or in front of others, put down or make fun of them, their race. Perhaps it could be their religion. It could be their class or their family. Maybe they don't look like them. Show off their personal items in public. You know how they do. Go up behind you, snatch your stuff, and wave it and just humiliate the person. Just, this is all about power and control. Let's look at this from the social status perspective lens. Treated them like their servant. We've heard this one over and over and over and over again. Utilizing him or her to inflict abuse on others. I'm going to say that one again. Utilizing him or her to inflict abuse on others. That just brings back a memory of a childhood where my neighbor's mother had four children. And the oldest child, which was a female, that's why I said it's not gender, it doesn't matter, would beat the other three kids to make them behave or have control over them. She would use a bat, a broom, pop them upside their head, and then she would also make, there were two girls, her and her sister, and two boys. And one of the boys and one of the girls were mildly retarded. She would make them beat each other. This was bullying to the nth degree. And I would just be appalled because she was only maybe 2 years older than me. And I mean, my mouth is wide open because I am standing in disbelief going, what are you doing? But let me go on because it was, I have never seen anything like it. These are children who doing just this, utilizing him or her to inflict abuse on others, their own siblings. Controlling involvement in school and or social activities. Let's look at this from the technology lens. Sending or spreading, harassing, humiliating, and defamatory messages via cell phone, social network sites, message boards, chat rooms, IMs, or emails. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, grandmas, you must, I don't care how you grown they think they are, you must be mindful, hear me, mindful what your children are looking at on television, who's on the cell phone, no such thing as privacy and you paying the bill. And you trying to figure out what's going on with your child. They have a computer. It's out of sight in their room. They got the door closed. No, sir. That's just not working. That's not the mindset of the generation that we have right now. We fought with sticks and stones. Not now. We need to be in cell phones. We need to be on the computers, know what sites they're on, who their friends are, texting and IMing and all kinds of messages going through the social media sites. Facebook, you need to pay attention. That's my charge for this evening. I think I got a right to say that. Pay attention to who your children are talking to on Facebook, cell phone, IMing, texting. Pay attention. Disseminating intimate private information or treating someone into disclosure private information. Pretending to be someone else and posting materials to damage that person's reputation. That is the technology lens. Minimizing, denying, and blaming lens. Saying he or she started it. Shifting responsibility for behavior. Let's look at this from the economic abuse lens. And if you're just joining me, we're talking about bullying, power, and control. Demanding money, stealing money, or possessions, accusing him or her of stealing or damaging property to get him and her in trouble. Older children, jeopardizing employment due to harassing or harassment in various forms. So that one is kind of broad because we sometimes don't think about bullying from that perspective. Especially when we talk about, one, older children, and two, jeopardizing employment due to harassment in many forms, because we usually are thinking about children and not necessarily thinking about bullying from the perspective of an adult who may be harassed on their job. So, you know, we need to open our thinking just a little bit here. Let's look at this from the social isolation lens. Spreading rumors or gossiping. Way too much gossiping going on in and out the body of Christ. Refusing to socialize with him or her. The silent treatment. I remember the silent treatment. It is not pleasant. Condemning other people who wish to socialize with him or her. You know, I wouldn't talk to her because, you know, she's so-and-so and so, or he's so-and-so and so. So, you know, this is the mind control, still control. Publicly criticizing the victim's manner of dress or other social significant markers. Now you're trying to humiliate and embarrass this person in public. And this is causes self-esteem issues. You still have control. Now, the last one is using the emotional abuse lens, putting him or her down, making him or her feel bad about her or himself, utilizing mocking names, staring, giggling, laughing at him, saying certain words that trigger a reaction from their past event. So this was the bullying power and control wheel. And again, we're talking about violence and sometimes physical and sexual abuse can be that outer wheel that we may or may not pay attention to. Because when people start bullying, especially when we talk about from a perspective that I was just talking about in the example that I was using in reference to the children, there could have been various sexual acts going on. Certainly could see the physical side. But what was the hidden thing on the inside that was going on in this particular household that I was too young to even identify? And if you're asking where was the parent, she was drunk at my mama's house, at my house. So that's the reason why all of this was going on in the first place, because there was no parental control. And by no means am I saying I'm blaming the parent or that, you know, but I think parents do need to own up to certain behaviors and responsibility and pay attention, and whatever corrective action that needs to take place, it starts with you. Military power and control. The reason why I chose this one is because certainly we know it is election year. And we know that during this year of 2012, which is divine order, if you'll allow me to shift you just a little bit, we know that one of the major things that happened was that military came home. And in the earlier broadcast, earlier this year, we talked about domestic violence and military, talked about suicide and military. And so being that Veterans Day is coming up, I wanted to talk about military because we can't forget that domestic violence in the military has skyrocketed, especially since they're coming home from the masses. And the other reason is because there's nothing, there's no type of social system in place to allow them to detox from the trauma the PTSD that they have experienced in war. So you're going to come home and try to migrate back into a world of normalcy when for the last 3, 4, or 5 years you've been on guard, on defense, you know. So we have to talk about domestic violence and the military because it is there. And people are dying by the gloves. They're taking out their family. They're killing themselves. So let's look at this lens of power control in the military. Okay, get your pen. Using coercion and threats. Telling her, if you report me, you'll lose your income, basic housing, the kids, be deported. That's one. Or threatening her with firearms or him, saying, do what I tell you or I'll get you. That's broad. Get you how? How are you going to get me? Well, that person may know what that means. Because when they left, they may not necessarily have been that person. But when they come home, you don't know who it is that's in your house. You married this person one way, but when they come home, what in the world? Using intimidation. Telling her you're trained to kill and maim. Can you only imagine what that sounds like to the other ear? And what that may look like on the lens of a child. Something to ponder and think about. Controlling her with stares, looks, gestures. Playing with her or cleaning her, cleaning your weapons around her. Intimidation, control, power. Hurting pets, destroying her property. Now, let's look at this through the isolation lens. Controlling access to her military ID card, family, friends, information, base command functions, telephone, transportation, and if there happen to be of another ethnic background, their English lessons. So if you take their English lessons away, then you've got control of communication. That is a big one right there. That one, if you're writing, you need to highlight that because you've now silenced them. Living off base to lessen her contact with others. This is isolation lens. Okay. Let's go to the emotional abuse lens. If you're listening by radio, and you're in the chat room, please press 1 so you can hear. I've got 1 minute and 19 seconds counting down, and you're going to lose the rest of this, and I'm just about done. So if you press 1 and come into the studio, you're not live on the air. You're only listening, and I can just see you. But I'm not going to call you out. I just need you to come into the studio so that you can address me. Or if you desire to go back and listen to the archives, I thank you for listening. Thank you so much for those that are in the chat room and those that are listening in Radio Land. Those of you that are in the chat room, thank you and continue to listen. We are still airing. We're just going to go into recording time. Thank you all in the chat room. Using the emotional abuse lens, ignoring her when you return from work or deployment. If you want to come into the chat room, just press 1. That's all you got to do. If you are listening and you need the number, it's 818-572-2919. 818-572-2919. Thank you. Ignoring her when you return from work or deployment, trivializing her concerns, meaning minimizing them, making them seem like they're nothing, that her voice doesn't count, telling her people think she's crazy, telling her she's a bad wife, a mother, a lover, putting her down publicly, accusing her of ruining your career. Let's look at this from the minimizing, denying, and blaming lens. Saying she's lying to get you, claiming she provoked it by playing around, getting drunk, not shutting up, or not doing what she's told, because you're the man of the house, blaming the violence on job stress or alcohol. Now you're making an excuse for your behavior. Let's look at this from claiming military and male privilege lens. Using her dependent wife status or cultural religious traditions to keep her in line. Keeping all legal documents in your name, saying you're the CO and the family is your troops. Taking over as head of the household post-deployment. Now, let's look at this from the economic abuse lens. Leaving no allotments during deployment. How's she supposed to maintain the house? Not sharing pay or financial records. Telling her what she can and cannot buy. Preventing her from getting a checking or account or a credit card or a job or schooling. And why is this? This is because you don't want your secret to be revealed. You're scared that she's going to tell or they're going to see the bruises that you've left on her or the children. So you want to keep her in isolation. So look how all of this just layers on top of each other. And if you can just only think about the many layers of guilt, shame, blame, all of the things that we talked about and have been talking about on this control wheel. Now, I wanted to flip it because I've been kind of talking about it from the negative perspective, and then we're going to be done. I want to talk about the wheel of nonviolence and what that might look like. But I want to talk about an equality wheel with people who are disabled and their caregivers. So let's look at what it looks like when it's nonviolent and what that wheel would look like. And we're going to use a different set of tools on the inside of our box. So if you've been running a list, you're going to need to make a new because we're going to come up with some more. So again, this is going to be an equality wheel, and we're going to talk about it from the perspective of people with disabilities and their caregivers. And so the core of this, of course, is nonviolence, but we're going to talk about equality with interdependence and what that must look like and what that feels like and what that wheel would look like and how would that wheel spin. Okay? So let's talk about negotiation and fairness. So discussing the impact of the caregiver's action with this person with a disability. Accepting change, we must be adaptable. Compromising, again, we must be willing to not be selfish, and we must be able to have an open mind. Seeking mutually satisfying resolutions to conflict, you got to have some communication. Using positive reinforcement to affect change. Again, that's negotiation and fairness. So the first one I said was discussing the impact of the caregiver's action with that person. And then the last one I said was using positive reinforcements to affect change. Let's move over to non-threatening behavior. What does non-threatening behavior look like? Creating a safe environment through words and actions. Treating property, pets, and service animals with care. Having no weapons on the premises. The non-threatening behavior lens. Let's look at a new lens called dignity and respect. Encouraging positive communication, honoring culture, traditions, religion, and personal taste. That's the diversity of it. Allowing for differences, developing services and behavior programs and collaborative interaction. I'm sorry. Let's look at involvement lens, and I'm almost done. Encouraging personal relationships, having healthy relationships, having relationships with friends and families and neighbors, and you know, just having a strong network, assisting in gaining access to information and employment, facilitating involvement with residents and jobs and job sites. Encouraging contact with the case manager or advocate. Remember, we're talking about disabilities and their caregivers. Okay, so that's the involvement lens. Let's look at honesty and accountability. I think probably we can stick integrity in there somewhere as well. Admitting being wrong. There is nothing with wrong with admitting that we've made a mistake or that we are wrong. I don't know where we got this idea that we are perfect people, because we are not. And when we admit that we are wrong, we are being transparent. We're showing our humanism. Understanding that everyone has feelings. That means that's their feelings. They own their own feelings, and you own yours. And we must get to a place where we recognize that we have to own our own feelings, and we can't own someone else's. Being flexible in policies and practices, using positive behavior practices, communicating openly and truthfully, acknowledging that abuse is never an acceptable practice. I think I need to say that one again. Acknowledging that abuse is never, N-E-V-E-R, never an acceptable practice. It is never an acceptable practice. Let's talk about responsibility, provision of services. Using medications properly. Maintaining and using equipment in timely and appropriate manner. Encouraging access to and use of adaptive equipment, showing sensitivity to the person's vulnerability when providing care. This is very important. That is my responsibility, provision of servants lens. Let's look at it from the lens of economic equality. We've talked about economic abuse. Let's look at the economic equality, which is the opposite. Acting responsible as physical agents, developing a plan where access to money or property is not contingent on appropriate behavior. So that means that it's not a, if you do this, then I'll do that. Having purchasing decisions represent preferences, needs of the person. What are their needs, not yours? What are their needs? Advocating and brokering all the possible resources of that person and sharing and explaining financial information so that they can make a decision. Choices and partnership lens. Listening to that person. Don't you want someone to listen to you? Don't you want to know that what you have to say, the other person, you know, has a listening ear, that what you have to say, someone cares? That's what it boils down. Does someone care about what I have to say? So listening is very important. Acting as agents of persons rather than agencies, sharing caregiving responsibilities with other caregivers and their family, being a positive, nonviolent role model. I'll say that one again. being a positive, nonviolent role model, encouraging the person to speak freely and to communicate with others, focusing on the person's ability and maximizing their independence. Because when you get into, you know, there's already, you know, the fight of losing their independence if you're talking about a person who has a disability and just the guilt and whatever's going through their mind. So definitely working with whatever that independence is and just maximizing it. Give that person joy and peace and confidence. These are important. This is an important thing that we need to do. Okay, and the last, is that it? Yeah, that is it. All right. We are done. Okay, so that is, again, the nonviolent wheel of equality. This is what it looks like, and this is what it sounds like when we are having all things equal, and we're operating in a non-violent, non-confrontational, non-domineering atmosphere. So I want you to keep these things in mind as we talk about domestic violence. And if nothing else, don't turn your head. Don't keep silent. And pay attention. When we see these traits and when we see some of the exterior evidence of domestic violence taking place in someone's home, in the lives of the children, if you are a caregiver, if you are a teacher, if you're in the church, or if you're in government, we all need to be a part of a community that is aware of domestic violence and know what to look for. And when I talk about having the spirit of discernment, this one weapon, I talked about tools, you know, my assignment, my mandate in the kingdom is to give you practical tools to have victory against all odds. So your spirit of discernment must kick in when we talk about uncovering the hidden thing in this wheel. We can see the outer wheel, but what's going on when the outer is not necessarily manifesting yet because that person may have on a mask or you see that child at school. So make sure that you don't turn your head or be so consumed with your issues that you're not paying attention in the school system, in church organizations, in the community centers. Join forces and be a loud-sounding voice for the children's sake. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Victory Against All Odds. May you have an awesome evening. May you be blessed. A few announcements. All I was going to say is that make sure you go out and vote on November the 6th if you haven't voted early. Also, I will not be on the air on next Monday. I will be traveling down to my leaders for our Women Explosion conference, which if you'd like to view, it will be live on television. And if you would like to tune in to the Word Explosion revival, if you will, you may do so by linking in Ustream at www.billylocklear, that's BillyLocklear, ministries.com. Service begins at 7 o'clock on October the 29th through November the 3rd, nightly. So if you want to be a part of that service, if you want to tune in next Monday, I will be down there in Lumberton, North Carolina. Please tune in. Also, we will be having a special Veterans Day service on November the 11th at 6 o'clock. So please tune in on that same Ustream link if you are so desire. We will be doing a special service for veterans all over the area and all the forces. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you and have a good night.
shoot a